You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. We're doing another exit interview today. If you want to hear our podcasts on Josh Richardson, Deion Waiters, Hassan Whiteside, Kelly Olynyk, Goran Dragic, and Justice Winslow, you can find that in the archives over the past couple of weeks. But today, we are talking about Bam Adebayo. As always, we'll go through some of his strengths, some of his opportunities, then answer some key questions about next season. Let's start with some of the numbers, David. Bam Adebayo, 8.9 points per game, 7.3 rebounds per game, 2.2 assists, 0.8 blocks, all in 23.3 minutes per game. And obviously those minutes, a lot more minutes towards the end of the season than they were at the beginning of the season because he got the starting job for the last 20 games or so.
Yeah, I started 28 of 82 games. He appeared in every game this season, which is an impressive feat for anybody, but you know, certainly for a second-year player who's as physical as he is. So it shows a lot about the kind of durability that he's, I think that we can expect for him, hopefully, throughout the rest of his career. The numbers are interesting because I was looking at it, you know, as for per 36 numbers, and there was only really incremental growth from his rookie year. I think we saw flashes of that incredible athleticism and potential his rookie year, but obviously a lot more of those talents were on display in his second season because of the increased playing time and starting opportunities. So you see a lot more of those talents, again, on a day-to-day basis. You know, the numbers that really stood out the most, I think, as far as an increase are concerned, was the assist numbers. He actually, per 36, had 3.5 assists as opposed to just 2.7 the year before. So we always knew he was a great passer, or capable passer, if not a great one. He's no Nikola Jokic, but he's still very good at setting up offense, and he has court vision for a man his size, which is pretty impressive.
Shot 71.6% at the rim. The Heat were 2.4 points better in defensive rating when Bam Adebayo was on the floor. And offensively, they were still negative. They were almost a point worse per 100 possessions when Bam was on the floor. Mm-hmm. But compared to Bam's rookie season, that's a lot better because they were 3.2 points per 100 possessions worse when Bam was on the floor. So they went to noticeably worse with Bam playing to basically even with Bam on the floor. And like, not an aggressive shooter, not a guy who's, you know, trying to force his own shot. There's obviously, we talked about Hassan Whiteside in that exit interview. The one good thing about Whiteside is there's a high ceiling for how many points he could score in a game. Bam, not so much, but he is efficient. He gets guys involved. His passing on the elbow was a huge boost, I think, for offensively for the Heat, and I think that's why you see those on-off numbers get better from his rookie year. Because in his rookie year, he was basically this energy big off the bench who barely ever played. This last year, he was an active participant in the offense.
Yeah, and I think we're starting to see more growth. I think when you look at his rookie season, there were, again, like I mentioned before, flashes, but not a total package. And we weren't quite sure what to expect from Bam because, obviously, his 1 year at Kentucky was so limited. And then we see that grainy workout footage before the draft, where he's, you know, shooting threes and he has this nice stroke. And you know, those weren't exactly things that we saw regularly during his first year. But at the same time, then you start to incorporate those a little bit in second season. And it shows that there is potential there for more growth, especially offensively.
So we mentioned the assists a little bit. The Heat won 10 of the 14 games in which Bam had five or more assists.
Nice.
That's a stat that's similar to that Kelly Olynyk stat that we pulled out during the Olynyk exit interview. So whenever, and I think the lesson learned is that whenever the Heat get their big men involved, it takes pressure off of their wings to create their own shots.
Yeah.
And then that just leads to better looks for the entire offense. It gets your bigs involved more often. The defense has to respect them. They're not able to play up against, you know, the Deion Waiters and the Winslows and the Josh Richardsons as much. And it just sort of opens up the whole thing. I think that's going to be key when we look, you know, through this process. We're kind of laying the groundwork for how Miami can build on this season for next season, getting their bigs involved, specifically Olynyk and Bam in the offense and moving the ball is going to be so huge for this team going forward. Yeah, that's where I'm at there.
Yeah, no, I mean, we uncovered a similar statistic with Hassan Whiteside, and I think, you know, the thing with when we were talking about it in context of Hassan was his unwillingness, and that's fairly well established. This isn't just us being critical of a player like Hassan. He's fairly well established and not being comfortable and sharing the ball and not necessarily having that as a skill in his arsenal. Bam, that's never been the case. Like, even as a rookie, he showed that he could, you know, incorporate other players, that he could make plays for others. And I think we'll just continue to see that. I mean, I don't know what his ceiling is as a playmaking center. And maybe that's a question for down the road. I don't think that we're going to see it anytime soon either, but maybe that's something that he can continue to just develop a little bit over the course of his career. But at the same time, it's certainly nice knowing that we can run the offense through Bam and that he can look to others and find cutters and things of that sort, that, you know, we saw that during the 82 games in which he played.
And there's obviously some drawbacks to him offensively. He's not a guy that's going to look for his own shot, is a little too passive too often. He'll be open and he'll just pass up the shot.
Yeah.
26 games with four or fewer shot attempts. That's more than a quarter of his games where he's putting up a shot a quarter or less. He needs to get a little bit more aggressive moving forward. But defensively, I mean, this is his bread and butter, right? Is defensively. We spent a lot of time already talking about his offense, but he held opponents to 6% below their season average field goal percentage within 10 feet of the basket. So basically, Bam Adebayo was really good within 10 feet of the basket defensively. And that, you know, you see that not because of his size, but because of his mobility. He can kind of defend in a phone booth really well. He's able to just sort of move around, get around screens, close out off the weak side. He's an awesome help defender. He's a great one-on-one defender. There's several occasions where you just see him take a perimeter player one-on-one. And so I think, you know, the defense is obviously there. The offense is coming along.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what can happen offensively. And I wonder how much of that is a team-wide edict, or maybe even Spoelstra telling him, look, just take the shot if it's there, or take just the best shot available. Continue to look for others. Because it seems more likely that he's just resistant to taking the shot because he lacks the confidence in doing so, which is kind of unusual. Again, for a highly touted player, a guy who has played at one of the top programs in the country and is drafted by a fairly good team in Miami, you wonder why he's not more comfortable taking that shot. It's not like
took 15 threes all season, and he only made three of them. So I get why he would not be comfortable with it.
Well, the three, yeah. But either way, even more around like any kind of shot. Like he did shoot, according to Basketball Reference, from 16 to from 3-point range, from 16 feet out the rim to 3-point range, he shot 44%. That's not bad. I mean, he's got long two capacity. I mean,
especially when he's shooting 20% from 3-point range, that long two is a little bit higher.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, we're gonna see that move out a little bit further, and I imagine that his range will continue to grow pretty soon. I don't think it's going to be too much longer into his career before we see him knocking down 3-pointers. I would say at least 30%. For the rest of his career, to be honest with you.
I wonder how much of that was not specifically, you know, not specific to Bam, but we know that the Heat tried to stay away from those mid-range shots in general, mm-hmm. in order to generate the most efficient offense possible. At the rim, 3-point range, that's basically where they lived offensively. And if Bam isn't going to be taking threes, then all the shots came at the rim. He was good at the rim, but he shot 71.6% at the rim.
Yeah, not bad.
So that's really good. But then I could see why, you know, he's probably hesitant to take the mid-range shots, is because in every practice, throughout training camp, Spoelstra's probably harping on this team, just don't take the mid-range shot unless you absolutely have to, mm-hmm. which is how they approached offense in general. So maybe you open that up for Bam. If Bam is, and we'll get to whether or not what his role is later on, but maybe you just say, look, he's not LaMarcus Aldridge. Right? Like, you still probably don't want him jacking up mid-range shots. No. It probably isn't really in his nature anyway, but we'll take a break here, and then we'll talk about what Bam Adebayo should work on this summer. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Let's talk about ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place that you can go. Well, hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one of them, spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. 80%, that's almost Bam Adebayo's field goal percentage at the rim. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. We'll decide whether or not Bam should continue to start next season. We'll talk about that later on. But let's talk about what he needs to work on this summer. What do you think, David?
I think creating his shot is probably something that he needs to be more comfortable with. And we've already seen some, you know, he shares an agent with Giannis Antetokounmpo, so we know that he's going to be working out, or theoretically, he'll be setting up some time to work alongside Giannis. And so, you know, we'll see how he can incorporate some of that explosive athleticism. But I'd like to see it directed more towards creating his own shot. Like, you know, I'm looking at his percentage of shot attempts that were assisted. It's been the same between his rookie and the second season, 70%, which means that, you know, of every 10 shots he takes, he's dependent on somebody else creating plays for him 70% of the time, whether it's lobs or, you know, spot up jumpers or anything like that. Given his skills, his ability to handle the ball as smoothly as he does for a man his size, I'd like to see him be able to incorporate more of that into creating those shots. And I know that kind of ties together with him being more aggressive and looking for a shot. But
yeah,
the skills are there, and we just need to see him tie it all together.
The confidence is what needs to be there, right? Maybe that comes with more shooting, and the more comfortable he is with that outside shot, then he'll be more comfortable making that decision. As good as a basketball feel he has for the defensive end,
right,
he does seem really hesitant on the offensive end, not always sure what to do. When we talk about the assists, it's not like he's bringing the ball up, driving and kicking in the way that maybe Giannis does. He's on the elbow. It's a set play. There's really not a lot of decision there. It's kind of a dribble handoff. He'll get credit for the assist and stuff. We almost give too much credit to Bam for the assist sometimes. Not that he can't deliver a nice pass. He's done it. Nice balance passes into the paint. He'll do those things. But if he can get that shot going, if he can really feel confident in it, and that's why I think he needs to work on that this summer. The outside shot, get that going, feel comfortable with it. And then from there, you can feel comfortable attacking closeouts, putting the ball on the floor, getting to the rim, doing things like that to be a more dynamic offensive player so that he can make those decisions, so that he feels comfortable making those decisions, because he's not thinking in his mind, okay, I could shoot it here, but I don't love taking these 19-footers. I could shoot it here, or that guy's going to close out on me, and I don't really want to attack this closeout from an idle position, you know? He's better... dribbling the ball up the floor off of a rebound, right? We barely see him just doing the Kelly Olynyk, Kelly Keeper type thing. Mm-hmm. He needs to be out in open space. He needs to be out on the run. But
I'm thinking about this, and I'm not sure I kind of like him working out with Giannis. Then, as much as that seemed like a good pairing at the time, like, you don't want to look to Adetokounmpo as a guy if you're looking to develop your jump shot. Because Adetokounmpo, I mean, as much as he's improved over the course of
his career, Giannis is going to be working with the best coaches this summer. So if Bam could stand there with him and shoot with him, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think he's a better shooter than Adetokounmpo at this point, you know? I mean, maybe the numbers...
You could argue that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's pretty close, if anything. And
yeah.
You know, he definitely needs to work in that shooting ability. I just wonder how much of a leap he could make. Like, I mean, yeah, obviously repetition is something that's going to be key for him over the offseason, but how much of that, and then tied together with that level of confidence. I mean, maybe they go hand in hand. Maybe they feed into each other. The more he shoots, the more confident he feels. Like, we saw huge growth from Justice over the course of his career. I mean, he's starting year five, obviously, and he's been, you know, phenomenal.
But we never saw a big leap from Justice or Josh. I think Bam is capable of a big year three leap. I mean, who's the most athletic, raw athleticism? Justice, Josh,
clearly
or Bam?
Bam.
It's Bam, Bam, right? Yeah. So Bam, to me, has the ceiling. I mean, you look at a Giannis who took a huge leap. Pascal Siakam, who took a huge leap. I think that's a really good comp for Bam. If he can get comfortable with the outside shot, be more comfortable with the dribble, and doing stuff off the bounce, I think Bam Adebayo's ceiling is really, really high for this third season for him. So for me, I just want him to work on those couple things, just, you know, getting more comfortable on the offensive end, defense, he's already good. He's only going to get better as he's in the league, more experience, gets smarter on that end. I have no issues with the defensive end. That's just going to continue to improve. But that's if I'm this is the summer, if you're Bam Adebayo, to take that third-year leap, and the Heat could really use it from him next season.
Yeah, I struggle sometimes whenever I give it too much thought about Bam. Like, he's so hard to compare to because he's so much more powerful than most guys his size. At the same time, he's a little somewhat undersized at the center position, yeah, even in today's league. And he's not exactly – he's not like a Jokic or a guy who's a little bit thinner and maybe a little bit more skillful as a ball handler, et cetera. He's a combination. He's probably, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe before the explosion and the big three changes and things of that sort, he probably would have been a four. And I think he probably would have been slotted in a power forward position, even if he was a little taller at that side. Like, he's smaller than P.J. Brown was, who played alongside Alonzo Mourning all those years ago. So I wonder, you know, it's so hard to look at Bam and see anywhere around the league a comparison because he's more athletic and explosive than most guys. At the same time, he is a little shorter. There is that, you know, skill set, but he's not necessarily as polished, especially offensively, as other players who might be playing the four. He's like a taller Draymond. I don't know if that makes sense necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, we made, you know, in our mailbag, there was the Al Horford, you know, and Draymond Green comparisons. You know, Draymond's a four. He plays five sometimes, but only about 7 minutes a game.
Right.
Al Horford plays center and power forward, but Bam, like you said, he's so much more explosive and athletic than Al Horford is. It's not a perfect comparison. You know, Pascal Siakam, I like the athletic comparison, but Pascal's not playing center. Bam is playing center. That's why I think the Bam and Kelly Olynyk pairing worked so well, is because based on the matchup, you could just sort of flip and flop them, right?
Right.
Olynyk would guard, you know, maybe the more plodding center on the opposing team. Bam can get out there and guard power forwards if he has to. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the sort of thing that they keep doing, or they just spread the floor even more, play Bam at center and just sort of go with it, and hope that Bam can stand up against the Joel Embiids of the world. I don't know. Or maybe you kind of pull a Boston thing and you bring James Johnson to the game, or maybe you start Olynyk, or maybe you play Bam next to Whiteside. I don't know, depending on the matchup. But at the end of the day, Bam is very versatile, and that's only going to help. And if he gets so good offensively that you just can't take him off the floor, then we start, you know, the Heat aren't asking those questions as much about the matchups. They don't have to deal with the problems. It'll be the opponent that has to really deal with the matchup issue, and they can sort of dictate the pace of the game that way. But
we're looking at Horford have a great series, or at least the start of a great series against Adetokounmpo. Do you think that Bam has that potential defensively to not necessarily lock down?
Yes.
Yeah, you think so?
Just be smarter and just be aggressive out on the perimeter, because the thing with these undersized centers, even Horford qualifies as an undersized center.
He does.
If you do your homework out on the perimeter before these guys want to get into the paint, and you are just a problem out there, you derail the entire offense. And now all of a sudden you're not dealing with, like, you're making it harder for opposing offenses to get into their post-up sets, to do all the things that they want to do to get to, you know, enter the ball into the paint and near the rim. So if you do your homework early, you really don't have to, like, size becomes so much less of an issue, and it's a lot easier to do that homework early if you're an athlete like Bam, or you're just the cerebral defender like Al Horford is. And by the way, I think Bam has the best of both worlds. I think he's an extreme, like, there are flashes where he just looks extremely intelligent on the defensive end. The game starts to slow down for him. We saw that as a starting center. That's why he had the starting center job at the end of the year. The game started to slow down for him. He was rarely in the wrong place. I mean, like I said, I'm expecting a big leap for him next year. But should Bam be the starter next season? What does his role look like next year? We're sort of dancing around it. We'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Heat on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and constantly updated new features. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Heat. Thank you to our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. You can support them and support us by going to ziprecruiter.com/lockedon. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. David, our final key question here. Should Bam be the starter next season? And if he is, will he play next to Hassan Whiteside at power forward?
Okay, for the first one, undoubtedly he should be our starter. Not just because of Hassan and whatever limitations he might have, but just because Bam is we're clearly establishing now, and I think even the franchise is to some degree establishing this, he is the future of it. He is a big part of the team's youthful core moving forward, and so he needs that opportunity. We saw him as a starter. We've seen enough potential from him, and if he's going to realize it at any point, it's got to be as a starter. He is not the kind of player who can come in and inject something offensively. He needs to be out there because of his versatility defensively, because of what he can do in order to make a strong impact. If his role is going to be mitigated offensively because he's just not skilled enough yet, he needs to be able to make the greatest impact defensively out there. And I think that's by starting, to be quite honest with you. I think he's just better suited for it because of that versatility, because you're probably going to have to guard the team's best shooters who are probably going to be likely in the starting lineup. And so when that's the case, you'll need a guy like Adebayo out there to help protect, you know, from that kind of perimeter shooting. So I think he's better suited for that. And as far as starting alongside Whiteside, I do not think that's the best case. I think roster changes are necessary. Like, I don't necessarily like the pairing of Adebayo and Olynyk, but I definitely don't like it with Whiteside. So I'm wondering what can change. I don't know if I think we talked about Olynyk probably being best suited for coming off the bench as a backup center.
Yeah, but
that means,
five.
Yeah, but that means then somebody has to be able to fill in that four, and I'm not sure who that might be. Either somebody that they draft, a free agent acquisition. It's somebody. You have to be able to acquire
healthy James Johnson, maybe.
That would be perfect. I think he's the kind of guy. Again, that's the kind of versatility, playmaking at every position then. I mean, if you've got a lineup like that, and that might never be the case. I mean, but this isn't James's exit interview. This is Bam. So I think for Bam's perspective, he needs somebody kind of to take a little bit of the load off of him. If he's still not capable or not comfortable creating his own shot, he needs somebody to make plays for him, somebody to, again, draw defenses away from him so that he can work more fluidly around the basket. And if that's the case, I don't think that's Whiteside. Both of them work best around the rim, so having them together there doesn't work, which is why the Adebayo-Olynyk pairing matches up so well, because Olynyk spaces the floor. But even that, to a degree, I mean, we saw Olynyk's limitations in that he wasn't able to get to the rim as frequently as he did in his first year in Miami, and I think that's partly because of who he was playing alongside.
Yeah, I mean, at the end, the Heat have three centers, Bam, Olynyk, and Whiteside. Bam ought to be the starter, but then what do you do with Olynyk and Whiteside?
Right.
Whiteside is the highest paid player on the team. He can't really be your third center. That forces Olynyk to the power forward position. In our exit interview, we went at length about why that's not his best spot. He needs to be coming off the bench as the five. Preferably, you bring Olynyk and Goran Dragic off the bench as your super subs, and you anchor your bench unit that way. But I like James Johnson and Bam Adebayo playing together in that front court. You got to get James Johnson healthy. He is big enough, he is strong enough to take on some of those bigger responsibilities, some of that rim protection responsibilities. Even though James Johnson isn't a great rim protector, he could do it. Yeah, I think Bam is going to be the starter, especially when you look to, okay, if you're the Heat, what they did last year to make up for the talent gap was just have a really modern offense. Defensively, they were not as modern. They got more modern, but they didn't start the season as modern. I mean, they tried playing Olynyk and Whiteside together. That was a nightmare. Playing Whiteside and Bam Adebayo together was a nightmare in the few minutes that they did it. There is no reason for them to even consider playing Whiteside and Bam Adebayo together. I don't care how good of a rebounding tandem that might be. But defensively, again, to make up for that talent deficit, and it's not as big as the talent. Like, defensively, there's a lot of talent on this roster, but you want to just keep getting more modern. You never want to go the other way. You want to keep going more modern because the rest of the league is getting more modern. And maybe you can make an argument, and I think there's probably people listening to this, you should zig when everybody else is zagging, whatever. No, that's not what needs to happen here. You look at the core pieces of this Heat team, Justice, Josh, Bam. They are modern NBA players. Lean into that. Go all the way into that. Figure out the rest. And I do think that there are going to be changes. Whether it's probably not going to be Bam, but between Whiteside and Olynyk, I think the Heat have to figure out how to ship one of them out and just give Bam space to grow and not real and find a good front court partner for him, like you were saying. Maybe it's through the draft. Maybe it's James Johnson gets healthy. Maybe Derek Jones Jr. adds 15 pounds of muscle and adds another 15 pounds of muscle. But it'll have to be something like that. But for now, yeah, Bam is the starter. He's your starting center. Figure out the rest later.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, when you think about that lineup, I mean, with a guy like Derek Jones Jr., I mean, or anybody that they acquire, Like, that's the kind of versatility defensively that only the most elite teams in the league have. You know, the ability to switch multiple positions. Like, just as Josh, X small forward, James Johnson and Adebayo, that's pretty much 1 through 5, with the exception Richardson being the least capable of switching on to bigger players. But even then, he doesn't mind that. He's comfortable doing it, even if he's a little bit too undersized for it. But I mean,
like a Harrison Barnes type, like a
6'9",
6'10", 6'11", kind of guy who can spread the floor a little bit, can do some stuff on offense, play the four for you, but then comfortably take on that center role defensively, that rim protecting role defensively every once in a while. I mean, that's how Draymond Green has survived this long, is he's got 7 foot Kevin Durant basically playing center during the Hamptons five. I know Draymond is listed at center. Kevin Durant's the guy guarding centers a lot of times in those big lineups, even though Draymond still will do it. Just having two guys who could mix and match. And that's the Olynyk and Bam pairing works. It was positive as a lineup last season. It's just not the best use of Olynyk's talent. So you would like to find just a different version of that, somebody a little bit more mobile, a little bit more explosive from the wing than Olynyk was. So, and that's the sort of, one of our mailbag questions last week was, is Bam Adebayo a build around piece? Define it however you want. But if the Heat do think that, then all right, you start him at center and you just go out and find a guy who can play next to him who fits with him well, better than what you already have. Because if he is a build around piece, then you got to go out and do that. Any other closing thoughts before we finish up the exit interview with Bam?
Not particularly. Just excited to see what his future entails. I mean, I think we're kind of moving all forward here as far as like seeing Bam be a not necessarily a centerpiece, but again, a potential building block, you know, one of several building blocks in the future. I know that the Athletic's Shandell Richardson wrote something about this just last week about Josh Justice and Bam being the core of the team moving forward, that their time is now. And, you know, one of the things that becomes obvious now in hindsight is how much of a factor Dwayne Wade's retirement was and how that changed the dynamic of everything, the focus on everything. And even though Bam got increased opportunities, now really is the time for him to kind of just continue to grow his game. And I mean, I'm glad he had a year and a half with Dwayne and other players on his team to kind of learn from them and understand how to take his game to another level, how to apply himself as a professional. But now it's up to him to really start to tie it all together, because the potential is absolutely there, particularly defensively for sure. But I think even offensively, the skills are there. It's just a matter of him kind of figuring it all out. And he has, I think, potential to be an all-star.
I agree. Put it together, find a go-to move on offense. I really feel like a leap could be coming for him. Thanks for listening. You can connect with us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.